5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome into the whole show powered by Chevron. We are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. And man, you know, you think you have a direction where you want the program to go today. And certainly I wanted to touch on our poll question today. But my goodness, Angel, people are, Rams fans are upset with this poll question today. Is Jay Norvell on the hot seat? That's my poll question. Getting a lot of conversation surrounding this. Small amount actually thinks he is. A large amount thinks that he is not. And then another portion of fans are mad that I even asked the question. Angel, I'm getting a lot of this pushback. Why are you focusing on this? Why not Colorado State men's basketball? First off, I talk Colorado State men's basketball all the time on this show. But what would you suggest be the poll question? Are the CSU Rams men's basketball team good? Is Isaiah Stevens good? Will they go dancing? I've already asked that one. I just, you know, it's funny to me. Like, people are clearly commenting and responding. I don't think that asking the question on December 7th when we're in bowl season and the Rams are clearly not in bowl season, are not participating in bowl season, it's not that far-fetched of a question to ask today. So, like, listen to this one, dude. Where'd it go? I lost it. Okay, here it is. Seems like CSU men's basketball might generate discussion. You know, the highest-ranked team in CSU history. Posting negative poll questions is lazy journalism. First off, what am I not, Angel? What do we all agree on? I am not a journalist. I am not out writing stories and gathering this kind of information like our boy Kevin Lytle does. I am not a journalist. I am a radio show host. We create content to entertain, engage, discuss, all of that for that reason. And clearly it's doing just that. So you might say, Angel, I don't know. You might say we're on to something with this whole radio show thing. I mean, is that question out of line? Is Jay Norvell on the hot seat? One guy said, what a dumb question. You sound like a CU whiny baby. What? What are we doing? Are we that sensitive about this topic? You have a coach that has won 3 games and then won 5 games, years 1 and 2. In a world of transfer portal and NIL stuff, you had some sensational players on your roster this year. And one of the best tight ends in the country, Dallin Holker, one of the best wide receivers in the country, Torrey Horton, one of the best edge rushers in Mo Kamara. And you won 5 games. I'm asking the question. And those of you that just hate the idea of this thing, this question, it just, you're a little sensitive on this topic. I'm not saying fire Jay Norvell. I'm saying, is he on the hot seat? Meaning if he wins 5 games next year, is that it? You go 3 years, Angel, and you're not a bowl team or you're not winning rivalry games and you're not at least sniffing in November, at least sniffing a chance at being a top team in the Mountain West Conference, then what are we doing here? I just think it's a wild concept that so many people, instead of answering the question, just say yes or no. And first of all, when I ask a question, a lot of people just assume, the masses assume that my poll question is going against what they're saying. It's funny. But do I think he's on the hot seat? I think if he doesn't have success next year, something's got to be done. The way things are done have to change. And I don't know if that's a blowing out of a head coach, but you tell me. He wins 5 games next year. You want Jay Norvell to be your head coach? That would mean you're on the hot seat. When you're on the hot seat, it means you got another year to get this thing right. If you're officially on the hot seat. Doesn't mean I think you should be fired today. But is there a significant amount of pressure that is now on Jay Norvell?
Yes.
Yeah. Wild, isn't it?
We've talked about CSU basketball every single day the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Oh my God. It's because you get computer trolls that just hang out on computers and they go to their chats and Twitters. They're not actually listening to the show. They call me lazy, a lazy journalist. Well, I call you a lazy fan. Like, Go find the content that we're putting out on a daily basis. Don't just assume that one poll question is the theme of the entire show. Drives a conversation. And it is a worthwhile conversation to have.
There's this weird, I don't want to call it entitlement because people will take that word and, it's like an insult. No, it's, there's this perception of what CSU football could be. There's the truth of what it is, and then there's something in the middle about what the fan base wants it to be. It's a Division I Group of Five program. It has a great facility. It has a great, fairly new stadium. Doesn't always have the fan base to support it, and then when you question that fan base, mm-hmm. they get up in arms and say, what do you mean? We're the best fans. You have to be real with it.
Yeah.
Jay Norvell, if he does not have a winning season next year, may not be the head coach in the future. That's just it.
And when you want to bring back, Brady, look at what he did in Nevada. It took him some time. His ceiling at Nevada was 8 wins. He won 8 games. That was the most. And he coached there for, 5 seasons? So let's not get on here. He was at Nevada for 5 years. And he won 8 games twice, 7 games twice. He was 3-9 his first year. The leap he made from year 1 to year 2, 3-9 to 8-5. He did not make that leap at Colorado State with better facilities. You tell me. Nevada's facilities are a joke. CSU's the prime of the Mountain West. Sorry, I used the word prime. I know that's going to piss some people off. But this conversation is worth having. And if you think you don't want to have it at all, and it's like, no, Brady, no. 3 years. Not in the day and age of a transfer portal, bro.
I think it's funny the person that called you a whiny CU fan.
CU fan, yeah.
CSU is not in the minds of CU at all. This is from a neutral point. You are the most little brother of little brothers that could be right now. CU is not worried about what CSU Jay Norvell is doing.
Yeah.
They cared for like a few days because he made some comments mm-hmm. about it. That's it.
You see
won the game. Congrats. You stormed your field. Woohoo. You went 1-7 after that.
There are a lot of Rams fans that keep tabs on everything going on with the Buffaloes. There's no question about it. And it's like, dude, focus on yourself. You won one more game than the Buffs. Neither program is in a good spot right now. We got a caller? Launster, what's up, Launster?
Hey, how you doing there, Brady?
I'm good, man. What's on your mind?
You know, first of all, you can't win on these poll questions,
No, this one's going crazy today. And listen, I knew it would generate some feelings here, but you know, the idea that this is a bad question to ask, it baffles me.
Mm-hmm. It does to me, too. I mean, hey, you're asking just a fair question here. I mean, you know, fans just need to just calm it down a little bit.
If a coach has 2 years and he's won 3-5 games, year three, I think it's, like, very logical to assume that perhaps that coach is on the hot seat.
Mm-hmm. True, it is. But you know what? If he gets another down season, I think you better start asking some questions on what are you going to do about this program.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, when you ask the question, are you on the hot seat? What does that mean? That means if you don't have success next year, you don't win rival games, you don't get to a bowl game, and that kind of deal. Then do you make a change? And I'm not there today. I think Jay Norvell seems to be the right guy, but I won't lie. In the back of my mind, there's a question: is he the right guy?
True, and so far, this season was not too bad, but you know what? It could be improved.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, no question about it, Lonster. I mean, I think he is on the hot seat, and if you don't think he is, then I'm not sure what to tell you, because I'm telling Rams fans, demand excellence. Go to the games, watch the games, enjoy the games, but demand excellence.
Mm-hmm. And get out there and support this team instead of sitting there leaving at halftime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's like, then what are you wasting your money there for?
Yeah, I get you. Lonster, what's for lunch today, man?
I'm having Crazy Carl's Pizza.
Oh, again? You had this last week.
Well, I still had some leftovers that need to be used.
You got to take care of that, man. Crazy Carl's Pizza is the best.
Oh, I tell you what, it's number one in my book, you know?
Yeah. Lonster, appreciate the call, man.
Hey, guys, have a good day.
You too, man. If you guys want to chime in on this, you can call us on our First Advantage hotline, 970-353-1310, or you can text us at 888-530-0043. I'd love your thoughts on this. You know, because I'm looking at the poll. I got two different polls going on here on Gel, and one of them is on Twitter, and it's overwhelming no. 78% say no. 22% are saying yes. Now, if you go to my website, theholeshow.com, we're getting some good engagement there. That would lead you to believe 52% say yes and 47% say no. So there's a lot of votes coming at both sides of this. Clearly, this is a topic you guys are into. I just think it's funny. On this certain outlet that I post a lot of my poll questions for Rams fans, I posted a question about, is this the best Rams basketball team? Is this better than the 2021 version? And we got a couple of comments, but not like this. So you guys complain about the media for going with topics like this that drive conversation. But then when it is the puppy dogs and kittens and positive poll question, you're not into it as much. So you guys guide where these shows go. The reason I ask these questions is because I see the damn engagement. It's what we do. We want you guys to have fun with these topics.
To those who are upset about this question, would it be better if we asked this in April or May?
I don't know. It's bowl season, and you're going to be watching teams that are you think you're better than are playing in bowl games.
It sounds like there's this perception that CSU should be in a bowl game right now. They should be in bowl prep today.
Yeah.
And they're not.
They're not.
And that's an issue.
You had to beat Hawaii, and I know it's hard to play in Hawaii and all that stuff, but you were a better team than Hawaii. So your point about should we ask this question in April, that's when it's like fresh. It's new. It's spring. It's exciting. We're getting ready for the new year. Right now is a great time to ask this question because you got football teams, Mount West teams, that are still playing football. And that is, I mean, you just fired Boise State fired their head coach 5 weeks ago, and then they went and won the Mount West championship. So clearly they weren't happy with what they were seeing in that head, in Andy Avalos. And I don't know if other things were going on. I don't know. But Wyoming, Craig Bohl retired, and it sounds like he probably did it on his own, I guess. But you tell me about Wyoming fans. There's a lot of Wyoming fans that were tired of the same old, same old. 8-9 wins, bowl game for sure. You're in the mix for a Mount West championship in November. And then by December, you know, everything's crumbled. You've lost, you know, two out of the last three to put yourself out of that spot. And Wyoming fans were not content with that anymore.
I think of CSU football, I think they're like the average Joes working out in Globo Gym. And you guys, it seems like you're just okay. Like, oh no, we demand better. We demand success. We demand Mountain West championships. But no, don't fire our coach. He's a good guy, and Jay's a great guy. He really is. That has to go away if you don't have six or more wins next season. With the talent that he's brought in, with Holker and Horton and the guys on the defensive side, all the talent's there. When the talent's there and they're not performing, where's the arrow point to coaching?
Yeah. Big Hub says, why would he be? And whoever voted yes, why would you think that? 3 wins last year. That's your pass. 5 wins this year. And how many stud players are on this roster? How many guys do you keep hearing every day are like nominated for this award, this award, this award, this award? That's why he is on the hot seat. And I don't know what that means for CSU because Joe Parker is probably not going to be the one to move on from him because if he does that, that could mean his job. He's the one cycling through all these head coaches now.
And, you know, you say the stats there and the records there. Yeah, there's an improvement from last year to this year. You would expect some kind of improvement next year.
If you win 7 games,
great.
No more hot seat.
We keep going.
Yeah. You win 6? All right. You got into a bowl game. It's a very slow climb. You win 5? Yikes.
I don't think the patience and the expectations of the fans is matching what the team's actually doing. Jay Norvell may see this as a slow build. The fans see it as, we need to be competing for the Mountain West, which you probably should be with the talent that you have right now.
And those facilities, That's what we keep going back to, those facilities. And I was the first guy to say, I love the on-campus stadium. I love all of it. And then when people would say, they better win next year then, I would say, hey, it takes time. You can't just build a stadium and then the next day you got all these amazing players. But we're now at the point where I can't say it takes time anymore. This thing's been going on for a while. When was the new stadium built? 2015? So we're, I think it was something like that, maybe before that. We're not at that point where I can use that as an excuse anymore. We've had time. You had Mike Bobo for some of this. You had Addazio for a brief minute. And I get that that was a train wreck. It was. But that's also the administration that made that hire. I like Jay Norvell. We get him on the program all the time. He's awesome. He literally wrote a book on wide receiver, how to play wide receiver. But this year was strange. I've commented several times that it's the most conservative air raid offense I've ever seen, which means I don't understand their offense. Stickman says, yes, he most definitely is on the hot seat. CSU needs and has to be better. I'll say this too. If CU has the same outcome next year as they did this year, then I believe Dion will be on the hot seat as well. Football in Colorado needs to be better. You're right. If Dion comes out the gates next year and they win 4 or 5 games next season, what do you think Buffs Nation is feeling?
Some of them are already feeling that way.
Sure. You're losing. They got a big recruit today. We'll talk about that. But it's a question that I think drives this conversation. Stadium was built when I got there, 2017. Okay. Texter, progression. And while that is true, he has top players winning awards. What coach has done that? Bobo went downhill and Addazio didn't do much. True. But what did Bobo do in his first 3 years? 7 wins each year. And you finally got tired of that. And then the next 2 years, he was bad.
It's like you said with the Nevada stuff. It's like, oh, he was great at Nevada. Nevada's a step down in terms of the Mountain West. Now you've got the facilities. You've got the talent. Now it's up to you as the coach to be successful.
Sure. And again, he got Carson Strong, stud quarterback. So I guess my question is, where's Carson Strong in the Mountain West Conference? I mean, there's some good quarterback play for sure. But is BFN the next Carson Strong? If you can't find Carson Strong to come be your quarterback for CSU, listen, your expectations should be higher than what Nevada's were. They made a big leap from year one to year two. So why did they not make that leap from year one to year two this year? They beat Boise State, and it was a crazy, crazy game. Very unlikely that that could have happened. I think 9 times out of 10, we replay that same exact scenario with 6 minutes left, down 20. I don't know that any team comes back from that. But they did. It was miraculous.
You talk about a conservative air raid. They're middle of the pack in offensive production.
And that was the whole thing, was like, bring this Ford air raid over. And then some people are getting at me like, he had to rebuild this whole thing. Not with the transfer portal. He brought Torrey Horton over with him. He brought the best receiver in the Mountain West Conference over to Colorado State. And yeah, the line was bad. They had to get better offensive linemen to make sense for air raid, and they did that. The offensive line was better this season. But there were times when the offense was predictable. It was run, 3rd and 8. Okay, we know we got a pass. There was a lot of that happened this season.
And, you know, you didn't have a quarterback that could be efficient enough. BFN threw a lot of interceptions.
And I know he's young, and it's hard to put that on that guy. I get it. I do understand that. But I'm not asking for the man's job. I'm asking if you think he should be on the hot seat, if next year should be a pressured-filled season. And I don't. Nobody else is getting this treatment that you guys are giving Jay Norvell. If this were anybody else, third season, and you won 3 games and 5 games, third season, this is the year to figure it out. Why is that?
It's a bowl game at minimum this year.
Yeah, why is that?
You're just, okay, we're okay with 5 wins every year.
Yeah.
Because that's where this program has been for a long time.
And that's why I'm asking the question. Is because year 3 for anybody else, when you haven't had that much progress, we'd be asking, dude, they beat Middle Tennessee and Utah Tech. Those guys fired their coaches after the season, didn't they? They beat Nevada, who was a train wreck. Fired their coach. They beat, who was the other win they got? Well, they've got Boise State.
They beat San Diego State, and then, yeah.
Yeah, and San Diego State, right after that, Brady Hoke announced his retirement. He was probably forced out. And now they got Sean Lewis. You tell me if San Diego State got better or worse by hiring Sean Lewis. A lot of people like that hire in this conference. Texter from the 405, not on the hot seat now. If he starts slow next season, it will get hot quick. Freshman quarterback and mostly close losses give him some breathing room. And I don't disagree with that take. But we can argue the definition of hot seat. Are you on it now? Or if you struggle next year, are you going to get on it? I think you're on it right now, which means next year you better be successful.
Oh, there's scalding hot, there's boiling, and then there's, hey, we put the chair in the microwave for 30 seconds and it's a little warm.
Yeah, it's definitely warm. This thing's definitely warm. He said, Chris Brady, isn't the college football going to 12 next year? Yeah, which I think puts even more pressure on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're seeing
these. It's going to be very clear and obvious who the best in the Mountain West will be.
Correct.
And if you're not competing for that title and a shot at the playoff, everyone gets pressured.
This is why you built that stadium, because you wanted to be in a big conference. You wanted to be big time. And now you've got these opportunities in front of you. Next year will be a monster opportunity. There's a lot of change in the Mountain West. We'll see if it's for better or worse. But CSU's got to take advantage of it. And if you're asking me right now, do I think Jay Norvell's the right man for the job? I would lean to yes. I would. But you can't just pretend he's invincible because of what he did at Nevada and what he's done in two seasons with the Rams. You can't. 27 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break here. I want to talk about the Nuggets loss. I'll get more into this topic because this is fun. Whether you guys agree or disagree, we're fueling it, man. You're fueling the fire. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Stay up to speed with the Rams with the Isaiah Stevens Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Just 32 minutes after the hour. I got a break soon. We got Kevin Lytle joining me. And that's a journalist. Kevin's a journalist. I'm not. I'm a radio host. I want to thank Shields for being a great sponsor of this program. Tis the season. You're getting your Christmas presents taken care of. Make sure you put Shields on that list, because if you're listening to this show, you're a sports fan. You probably have family members that are sports fans, friends, people you're buying gifts for. Consider Shields. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. The poll question of the day, is Jay Norvell on the hot seat? We're going to have that conversation. It's a good one to have. 32 minutes after the hour, Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, joining me next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
What's up, guys? It's Jack Howell, safety for the Green and Gold. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Just 36 minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by Chevron. Kevin Lytle joining us now on our First Advantage hotline, as he does each and every Thursday. Kevin, my man, you can vouch for us. We talk plenty of CSU basketball on this show. You know that.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of it.
Yeah. Well, I asked the silly question today, and you're getting Rams fans upset with me saying, hey, Brady, there's got to be something else to talk about with CSU basketball. Dude, Kevin, what's my poll question going to be? Are the Rams good at basketball? Maybe I'll do that one tomorrow.
I mean, I would get a – you'd have a clear answer, I guess.
I think so. It's funny. You know how this goes, dude. I posted a poll question. I think I asked you this question last week. Is this team better than the 21-22 team that went dancing? And I got a couple of hits on it. People were kind of into it. I post, is Jay Norvell in the hot seat, and it's lighting up. So, I mean, dude, we let the viewers and listeners and readers tell us kind of where we're headed with some of these topics.
Yeah, it's so funny, the ones that can take off and that don't really lead to conversation. It's funny the way the little social media world works.
It's fantastic, man. But no, more importantly, last night, I thought this was a pretty important win for Colorado State, Kevin. I know they were 21-point favorites or whatever, but you're kind of adjusting. You got a couple of injuries there with Josiah Strong out for a while. We know about Jalen Lake. and you're getting Patrick Cartier kind of back in the mix after his injury. So this was an important win because maybe you could call it a trap game, whatever, but you're heavy favorites. You've got some adjustments to make, but somehow the Rams pulled this one out. Scored 90 points. You know, it wasn't like they were completely off. It was just a weird game.
Yeah, exactly. All those things you mentioned are spot on. I mean, CSU, three of the top six players have been injured already this season. Say two of them out right now in Strong and Lake, and you knew it was going to be a problem in this game because Denver can score. You know, it's you know, not necessarily a tournament type of team or anything, but they can score. They have third leading score in the nation. And of those guys hurt, you have your two best perimeter defenders. So you're playing all sorts of different lineups that you've never played, all that type of stuff. And then you throw in, I mean, CSU's been running through a gauntlet. Four games, mm-hmm. 11 days, in three different cities, all against high major teams. CSU won them all. It was just going to be a slog. Like, you can't always factor in all those things, I know, when they're making lines, but 21 seems pretty absurd, just given all those circumstances. You know, if a fresh, healthy CSU plays Denver, that makes sense. But all the circumstances, it was just a slog. That's what Nico Medved said after the game. He goes, yeah, we just looked like a mentally and physically tired team, which, you know, we are. But we found a way. That's why, you know, there were a few people after the game on social media, you know, commenting on me, some, you know, oh, is this concerning? And, you know, you don't want to dismiss anything, but it's like, no, I don't really think it is. I mean, they're going to have to figure out how to play without Lake and Strong, no doubt. But overall, like, it's a 30-whatever game season. You're going to have some nights where you're, you know, not perfect.
Yeah, I think that's right. It was kind of weird. You know, they were down 39-35 at the half. Kevin, there was just this part of my brain that's like, I'm not really surprised by this. DU wants to come in. They're having a good season on their side of things. They want to come in here and kind of shock the world and be the team. Just kind of like UNC's argument. UNC can play lights out against CSU. So you have a team like Denver that wants to come into Moby and pull off a major upset. And it would be. We'd be talking about it big time today if they did. And then, you, like you said, with the injuries and everything. So this kind of set up like that perfect storm, yet the Rams found a way, outscored DU 55-41 in that second half.
Yeah, and every team, you know, this is what happens when you're top 15. Everyone's going to play well against you because they are up for that game. It is their biggest game of the season. So, you're going to take everyone's best shot. And Denver did that. You know, what happens with a team like them is, you know, CSU was off defensively early. They hit some shots, and then all of a sudden you start playing with confidence because you got some open looks, hit them. Now all of a sudden you're hitting some contested looks. And that team, you know, in the second half, you know, they started swaggering a little bit, talking about Denver, and that's when it does get really dangerous. But like you say, CSU's mature. They made the runs. They actually had some probably guys you wouldn't expect with some of the young guards make really big plays and found a way to win. And, you know, in the end, a 10-point victory is just fine. You know, you take a tiny little metrics hit, but, you know, frankly, it won't matter at all in the long run. So all is good, really.
Isaiah Stevens last night, 18 points, 9 assists. Some of his passes in that second half, Kevin, I mean, those were head-turners. And that, I guess that's what he does every single night. There's all these passes you just look at. How did he even – was he even looking at that guy? He had a lot of great plays in this one.
He had it was a Pat Cartier hit back-to-back threes in the first couple minutes of the second half to kind of, I think, settle everything in. And the first one was just an outrageous pass from Isaiah Stevens. He's kind of driving baseline and sort of an overhead whip. I'm not sure how he knew Cartier was there, found him. And Pat hits the three and kind of, you know, you can even tell, you know, it wasn't just like your point to the guy who made the assist. I'm like, yeah, good work, buddy. It was like, okay, man, like that was a cool pass type of thing. So, yeah, Isaiah, you know, his shooting was off his crazy. You know, he's 1-for-7 at first half, and I think he hit every bit of the rim. I mean, every shot was just kind of rattle, 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 and then come out. But as always, he just finds a way to impact the game in a big way. I know Denver's coach after the game said, you know, he's the best guard in the country, and at the end, when they needed to control it, he totally didn't. You know, that's just who he is.
Well, and it was those back-to-back threes that you mentioned, too, with those passes that kind of it felt like that kind of changed the tone of the game a little bit for CSU.
Yeah, like I said, I think it just settled things in. You know, down four at half isn't, you know, that's obviously a very small margin of being down. But if Denver had come out and gone on a quick 6-0 run, all of a sudden it's like, oh, boy, like this is really dangerous. But instead, you know, CSU took the lead. They were still back and forth. You know, Denver had their mini run after. But, yeah, I think it was really big to start the second half well there and kind of just calm everyone down.
So Joe Palmer gets the start in this one. He had 4 points. And, again, it was just a weird night for a lot of people. But clearly Palmer's the kind of guy, Kevin, that does so great coming off the bench and provides that spark. It will be interesting to see how he kind of grows into, if that's going to continue to be the plan with him starting while a couple of these guys are out. I'll be curious to see how he handles the starting role.
Yes, the whole trickle-down effect when you have these injuries. I mean, like you say, he had been playing really well in a, you know, spark plug off the bench role. So how will he play as a starter? And then, again, there's the trickle-down of, okay, well, who's the spark plug off the bench now? Because that guy is now starting because you have these injuries. And last night it was Tavy Jackson, who hadn't played all season. Basically, he real briefly got in versus Washington. And he was really, really key in that second half run. So, yeah, it's you know, we've talked so much about this depth, and it's really being tested now. It was last night. It will probably even in a more significant way be Saturday against a much better opponent. So this is, you know, this is a really challenging time for the Rams.
Yeah, St. Mary's, you know, they're kind of a 500-ish team right now, Kevin, but we know their history, their tradition. They'll probably find a way to figure this out. However, Colorado State's kind of had their number over the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's definitely one. Yeah, I think they're 4-5 right now. Ignore that record. This is a very good team. I mean, they were picked to win the West Coast Conference. And there's a little team called Gonzaga in that conference. So people thought they would be really good. I still think they will. I was talking to Nico Medved sometime recently. I think it was on a podcast he was talking about and said, you know, they're going to be a tournament team. I think Randy Bennett will get them there. But, yeah, CSU each of the last 2 years has beat them. A few years ago, CSU actually had a really ugly loss there, but that was in the COVID season, I believe, coming off all sorts of weird stuff. But yeah, St. Mary's always really tough defensively, physical, grind type of games. So again, for a, you know, pretty exhausted CSU team, it's quite a test.
Yeah, it really will be. And that's, you know, again, winning that DU game, I think it's much bigger than some fans are giving this one credit for, because potentially trap game, all of that, knowing what you have coming up on Saturday. And then, you know, you've got a few games left in the non-con schedule, too, with LMU down the stretch, too. These games are all just pretty darn important as you're building that resume.
Yeah, I mean, if the ceiling of where, you know, this team could go has risen greatly with, you know, who they beat early on. But with that means every game just carries more importance, you know, because right now this is, you know, probably a 2 or 3 seed resume. But to keep a 2 or 3 seed resume, you have to win darn near every game. So it makes them all so much more important. So, yeah. Just another big test for CSU. And yeah, like I say, this one's just really challenging. St. Mary's is just a tough, tough team to play.
I know we'll dive into that more a little bit later on with Rams Weekly coming up at 5 o'clock, Kevin, so we'll get into that. I might even ask you our poll question if you promise not to hurt me. You know, we'll get into that later on this afternoon.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do.
All right, man. Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. And always a pleasure, my friend. Keep up the great work.
Absolutely. Looking forward to this afternoon.
All right, man. There he is, Kevin Lytle, talking about that kind of gritty win. And listen, you were 20-point favorites. I thought that line was strange, especially considering, you know, Josiah Strong is out. You know, Jalen Lake is out. Both guys are going to be out for quite a few weeks. So I still thought CSU would win that game. But DU can score a lot of points. They're a decent basketball team. So that was I thought that was a nice win. I'm not going to sit here and say it was a big win. It was just a nice win, especially when you've got St. Mary's heading up, and then you're still riding the high from beating Washington 86-81 and CU 88-83. So you've had a stretch of really, well, Creighton too, three in a row, three wins in a row that were just big marquee victories for you. How would you handle that with the injuries, you know, trap game, all of that? And they found a way to get it done. But a huge game against St. Mary's. 11:48 the time. Let's jump out, take a quick break. We'll wrap up hour number one here on the whole show. Powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
You like podcasts? We podcast every show immediately after it airs at 1310kfka.com. Or wherever you download your favorite stuff. Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, guys? It's Jack Howell, safety for the Green and Gold. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Chevron. Live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. I want to thank one of our great sponsors. That's On the Rocks Liquor. They have been a sponsor of ours for a very, very long time. They're located half a mile south of Highway 34 on 47th Avenue. They got their free wine and beer tastings that they do every single weekend or Friday leading into the weekend. That's On the Rocks Liquor, half a mile south of Highway 34 on 47th Avenue. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Weird night last night for, well, it was weird for the Rams. They found a way to win. Weird night for the Nuggets, and they didn't find a way to win. They lost to the Clippers 111-102. That snapped a little bit of a win streak that the Nuggets had over the Clippers for quite some time. So a bummer to lose that kind of a game, but it was strange for Nikola Jokic. It was probably his worst shooting, I think, most misses he's ever had in a game. But that was tough, too, because you just feel like the Nuggets have the Clippers' number. They're always good against the Clippers. But it was just one of those nights for your superstar where it just never really got going. He was 9 of 32 last night. First off, he never really shoots like that. He doesn't shoot that much. 9 of 32 for 22 points, 10 assists, and 15 rebounds. I mean, dude, that's when you know you've got an MVP player. We're talking about one of his worst games ever, maybe in a while. I don't know. And he still had a triple-double. So it was just strange, Angel. I don't know how much of that game you watched. It was kind of a later game. But it was all the same stuff he was doing. Like, all of the same ways he gets in the paint and little spin moves, backing down, you know, guys. He's backing down Zubac like crazy. It looked good. It just, they weren't falling. It was crazy. He'd be so close to the rim and shots weren't falling. I don't think he'll ever have a game like that again.
No, I wasn't able to watch this game, but I was able to get my Twitter recap in the morning and kind of just go through the timeline and see what the trends were. Nuggets started off good. Had a good lead early, and normally when that happens, it's almost predictable that they're going to blow the lead.
36-21 at the end of first.
Yeah. And then I saw a lot of stuff like, you know, Mike wasn't getting the ball late in the game, even though he's been having a pretty decent stretch of games here in the last couple of weeks. So without watching it, I'll chalk this up as off night. You got Jamal and Aaron Gordon back.
Get your starters back.
Get that chemistry back going again. Yeah, they're allowed to have an off night.
Yeah, MPJ was on fire in that first period. You know, he's hitting three. I think he had three threes in the first, and then they just completely go away. Partly his doing, partly the team's doing. It was strange. Aaron Gordon, I thought, was forcing things. He kind of does that sometimes, but a lot of times it works out. Jamal Murray was feeling it. Looked pretty good. He was 2 for 7 from the 3-point line, but ended with 23. But he looked kind of gassed. He's icing the ankle when he's on the sidelines there. The theme of this game, though, is really it's Nikola Jokic. 9 of 32. If he has anything close to a normal game for him, the Nuggets win this thing by 10. They win this thing by 15. And instead, you lose it by 9 or whatever, 111-102. It's not a concern at all. Tanner was asking a little bit about the bench this morning. I'm just not going to jump into that trap right now. I think this team is coached well enough. Yeah, I'm just not going to do it. I did it last year, and the bench turned out to be pretty good. Now, they only did a three-man rotation from the bench last season, but I'm not going to fall for it right now. Let's talk in 2 months, maybe. But I think Reggie Jackson, that's the guy that I've turned around on big time. He had 14 points last night. He was pretty good. You got to have somebody else go along with him. And is that DeAndre Jordan? They did the two-man game for a moment, and it kind of worked, but they didn't stay with it long enough. Where's Peyton Watson? Where's the consistent Christian Brown? Julian Strother, a rookie. I don't want to expect a lot from him, but he was a no-show. Second hour coming up. We got the big story of the day. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.